This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
We talked a little football, a little Clemson football. Wes had the spring game call, which was interesting here on ACC Network. We got more stuff coming your way, though, this hour with guests, championships, all that cool stuff. But, Wes, we got to do. By the way, the sun's coming in again down there at the Hinkle Farmhouse. And, yeah, I love that. Whole Alexander Memorial. That's what it kind of looks like down there in Cartersville, Georgia. Hinkle Farmhouse.
Yeah.
Like it. Looking bright.
Sun comes
cheery
up on the farm. We got to get it done.
Yeah, I like it. All right, best and worst. We always start with the positive, though. Always the positive.
Where's the coveted invite? Let's start with the coveted invite.
You're right.
Where are all the fighting volleyball alums for the Cards? Where's Katie George? Louisville wins the ACC Volleyball Championship. KG, congratulations. They beat Carolina 3-0. And the Cards, one of a handful of ACC teams, by the way, going to the NCAA volleyball tournament. Congratulations. Yeah. Danny Busboom Kelly, the head coach, will be here in just a few moments.
Yep. Four ACC members moving on to the Nationals, which we'll talk about later on. But, old Katie George's got to be happy. Somewhere up there in the Commonwealth, she's got to have a smile on her face, thinking there's more hardware coming to the University of Louisville.
That's
so, like you said, congratulations to the ladies. We hyped up a bunch of one versus twos last week in the men's and women's lacrosse. So we're not just about one and two in the league. No. Not in this conference. We're talking about one versus two nationally, and we had an incredible match on Thursday, right? Duke and North Carolina. Well, Saturday morning, leading into Wes's call, the Clemson spring game, you had North Carolina-Syracuse, one versus two in women's lacrosse, and Syracuse got off to a good start, and then North Carolina went, bye-bye, catch you later. And, man, they put a hurting on the Orange now. This was a woodshed job.
17-6, and Carolina broke this thing open and never looked back. Pack, there's a stick on the ground. Goal, throw a stick on the ground.
Yeah, Cuse was up 4-1.
Kenny Levy's got a team.
Oh, there's a bunch of them in this league. Again, the men, and I think we have 13 teams in this conference that play lacrosse, men's and women's. Last week, I think 11 of them were ranked, and I think all but one were ranked in the top 10. I mean, it's goofy.
That's
it's
right.
Crazy how good the lacrosse is in this league. But North Carolina's ladies put on a show Saturday morning here on ACC Network.
Yep. How about Notre Dame's men's lacrosse? Kevin Corrigan is their head coach. Career win 3-10. Tied for the most in Division I with one school. And again, we talk about lacks. Doesn't matter. Ladies or gentlemen, the ACC is the real deal. Kevin's done a marvelous job. He'll join us, by the way, coming up here bottom of the hour, 8:30. Looking forward to visiting with yet another Corrigan on this show.
Kind of like the unis, too, by the way. Notre Dame's unis, lacrosse.
Yeah.
That's solid.
Strong.
Yep.
Strong.
Like those.
Let's go to the declaration. I've already told you, we are two spring games in of ACC football, and we've already got our best catch. So everybody else, silver medal.
Wow.
Because last fall, Andrew Booth came off against Virginia and one-handed Lavelle Davis in the end zone. Well, guess what happened in the spring game? Booth was, to quote his interview, exclusively heard on ACC Network with Dabo Swinney, "I was just being regular." This is just regular, Pack. That's all that is.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
Just regular.
Did he not win twice last year in wide receiver year? Didn't he have that crazy interception against Pitt? Remember that thing? He looked like Superman flying across. In fact, it was that end of the field.
Yeah.
Hey, that dude now, he makes
plays. I'm telling you.
That's a player. That's a
ball.
Eight. 2-3.
Why? He's number one. Number one. That's all I'm saying. Number one. We're done. We're moving on. We'll find others that'll contend, but he wins wide receiver U.
Speaking of number one went down in, you know how much I love this sport, beach volleyball. For a guy that doesn't like the beach, I do like me some beach volleyball. Guess what? The Noles took it on the road to number one. They played the real USC. Ranked number one.
Video? We got video?
The Conference of Champions. Well, guess what? You got a dose of Florida State beach volleyball. This is a sport, in my opinion, that could take off like nobody's business if people start paying attention. Beach volleyball. There is nothing wrong with that now. Florida State, the ladies, again. A lot of ladies taking care of business this week on the weekends. Best of. Florida State, beat number one. Love it.
We got to get it. We got to get on that deal now.
I've been saying it for years on radio.
Way to go, gang.
Volleyball is where it's happening. I'm telling you. Mm-hmm. You want a sport, want to take off for television purposes? That's the one right there. Beach volleyball.
Yeah. Congratulations to Amelia Migliaccio of Wake Forest. She qualified for the playoff. Augusta Women's National, Augusta National Women's Amateur. She was one of about a half dozen ACC players in the field. And Amelia, well done.
And by the way, can I just plug something real quick? I thought the coverage of that event was sensational. And whoever was producing that a marvelous job. Whoever produced that event, sensational.
It's your brother. Oh, that was your brother.
My brother, Brandt.
Your brother.
Brother Brandt taking care of business down there at Augusta. Front row. Got a good parking spot,
We need to have Brandt on the show at some point.
He'll go for it.
I think we got to get Brandt on the show. We've taken Billy a couple times. Billy was making headlines here on Friday.
Yeah. Brother Brandt, he'd come on here talk some golf.
Yeah, he'd be good. Yeah, we'll talk golf. Drew Brooks would like that.
Mm-hmm.
Connor Schellenberger, 4 goals, 3 assists against Richmond. Congratulations. You make the list. Outstanding performance for Virginia over the weekend.
Yeah, the Hoos had to find their offense, man. Lars Tiffany said, man, we got to find something. We got to figure out what's clicking. We got to get the offense back on track. And Richmond, a very, very good defensive team from what I understand and what I read. Top 20 team. But, man, O'Connor went off now. 4 goals, 3 assists. Yep. Taking care of business, the Hoos with the W over the weekend. Nice.
Our final best of the weekend comes from ACC baseball. Gino Demare in Miami get the sweep of Duke in a 3-game set over the weekend. Pretty important. These ACC series in the month of April now.
Count.
Keep an eye on this stuff because it's going to move us into May where we're all of a sudden then going to have implications not only for the ACC baseball championship in Charlotte, but potentially also postseason as well.
And
with the limited midweek game, we touched on that last week with LA David, midweek games, conference series become ultra critical.
And you look at the standings are kind of goofy. I got to tell you, I mean, we got some of these, you know, Pitt, Notre Dame, Boston College off to great starts. And, you know, NC State struggled and they swept North Carolina and they salvaged being swept yesterday against Clemson. And, you know, Miami's been up and down. They got the good weekend here, but there have been some weekends where, you know, Florida State wore them out. The Noles, by the way, took 2 out of 3 against North Carolina, in which I would like to note were less than 10 home runs were hit. I think 5 total.
Mm-hmm.
So that the bombs weren't there. We thought that could happen. So again, you got to start paying attention with these schedules and standings. Again, we haven't really spent that much time going through the standings, but when you take a snapshot, there's going to be a horse race coming down the stretch now in this group. And we thought it was going to be like Louisville and this pack of 7 or 8, just about everybody's been ranked at some point in time in some poll. And the league has been consistently good as far as top 25 teams, normally anywhere from 6 to 8 to 9, give or take. On a consistent basis. So keep an eye on this. Baseball is going to be excellent. I can't wait for it to get here in Charlotte for the championship.
Yep. ACC Baseball Championship coming up at the ballpark there in Uptown Charlotte.
Gorgeous.
That's the best of the weekend in the ACC. And as always, we give you the best and we also give you the worst. And, oh, man, you just hate to see some of this stuff. Tough injury for Clemson football. We'll talk about that when we come back and more. Packer and Durham continues after this.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. The Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Monday, 844-SAY-ACCN. Kevin Corrigan That's right. Of that esteemed Corrigan family, incredibly talented family. And they are everywhere in the ACC, man, those Corrigans. That's why they're I've said this before. I've always thought of the Corrigans as kind of like the Manning family. You know how you always said Mannings are the college football family? Yeah. To me, the Corrigans are the ACC family. It just always seems that way to me.
Yeah.
There's always a Corrigan in control and in charge and smart. Got it under control.
Let's see if we can get Kevin to dish on Boo or Tim today. What do you want to go with?
Whatever, we'll see. It's hard to dish on a family that's all always right. Everybody's successful. Everybody's successful in the Corrigan family.
Right? You know what's going to be happening, though? Barb and Lena and Miss Jean all going to be watching this interview. So we got to be on our best behavior, or else people will be calling people.
But no, we will be. Right. I don't think that's going to be an issue at all.
All right.
All right. Unfortunately, we have we give you the best. We have to do this, too. We go the flip side. And there's some bummers on this one, unfortunately.
And I'm going to start with one that was on the best is now on the worst?
Yes.
How'd this happen?
It's easy. It's called a playoff in golf. Right? And it's not just a tournament. The Masters. Augusta. So, Amelia, and I got to be honest with you. I caught about 25 minutes of this yesterday channel surfing. And Amelia makes it to the playoffs. John Curry, by the way, let me just point this out. The athletic director, Wake Forest, because his flight was delayed, American Airlines, he was able to catch this on television because of poor aviation. Antics by American Airlines again. But unfortunately, Amelia did not play 18 well. Put in the fairway, kind of fanned it to the right, put her in no man's land, tried to get it up and down, didn't. Par won the playoffs. Amelia, great effort. Awesome that you got to the point in the playoff, but did not close the deal yesterday. But nevertheless, what an awesome career she's had at Wake Forest. She's been great. Really great.
No doubt. No doubt. Look forward to watching more of Amelia. Both Syracuse men's and women's lacrosse lost over the weekend.
Yeah.
Josh Macri, how we doing? How we doing? Notre Dame beat the men 18-11. Already told you, Carolina Saturday morning got the women 17-6.
Yeah, I mean, listen, both of these programs are awesome, right? The men and the women's program at Syracuse.
Yep.
And they both got hit pretty hard now. I mean, you get beat by 7 in lacrosse, you're getting hammered. You get beat by 11, that's a woodshed. So a tough weekend for the Cuse in lacrosse, men's and women's. But they'll be back. They're too
good. There
you go. Too good.
Tough note from Clemson's orange-white game on Saturday. Tyson Pumachon, the backup quarterback to DJ Uiagalelei, suffered an apparent torn Achilles in the spring game. Fairly innocent play, and just goes to show you that, you know, these things are, it's a real deal out there, no matter how you're trying to protect them. Darian Richard, by the way, I think is okay, got the wind knocked out of him. Hope it's not more serious than that. But Tyson Pumachon, the apparent torn Achilles, and maybe we'll get a chance to visit with Dabo down the road here, but it opens up the door now for Tony Elliott and that backup quarterback spot pack in the in August. When Clemson goes back to practice in August, they'll be in search of a backup quarterback.
And you mentioned, for folks that watched the game, I mean, that was the game-winning drive that he was leading, and it was that pass that really kind of set up the touchdown run from 5 out, untouched, just threw the football and went down. Mm-hmm. And Leonard Hamilton can attest to this because he just had Achilles surgery. That's one of those – that's kind of an iffy deal, too. Again, I'm not a doctor. Don't plan on being one. But those Achilles, I mean, sometimes you can come back from those things and you're good to go, or they can linger. You just – they're kind of unknown, those deals. So that's a tough blow for Clemson's quarterback room. They've got some young freshmen that aren't on campus yet that they're excited about. But you got to have a backup. I just think that in this day and age, when you're talking about winning a national championship, there will be a point in time where whoever is number two got to be a pretty good player. So Clemson expects to be in that role.
Yep.
So we'll see. That'll be something to keep an eye on as we get into August football and practices and all that stuff, too, over the summer.
There you go. Notre Dame softball, 4 games over the weekend against Florida State. They scored only 1 run.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Against the Noles.
That will be a problem. I think that in this day and age, if you expect to win in softball, scoring would be mandatory. And if you're going to play 4 and only score 1, I don't like your chances. Noles go WWWW against the Irish this weekend.
Yep. So Lonnie Almeida, congratulations. Florida State, a big winner. Tough for Notre Dame at the plate. Carolina men's lacrosse. Now 0-4 all time in 1-2 ACC matchups. There's a late add to that Duke Carolina lacrosse we had on Thursday night here on ACC Network. Ooh.
Yeah, again, this was only the sixth time we've had an ACC 1-2, which we talked about a lot last week. And the game was sensational. Overtime walk-off right there is the W. But the Heels are on the wrong end of these 1-2s. So we kind of threw it in there only because lacrosse is so big right now, not only in our country, but in the ACC in particular, where this conference is totally dominating both the men's and the women's side.
So keep an eye on the lacrosse. First time we mentioned this since 2016, the ACC will not have a basketball champion. They had Virginia 19, Notre Dame women 18, Carolina men 17. Been a pretty good little run for the ACC.
You're talking about champion as a national champion, right? Is that what you mean by that?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. We've had
sir.
Champions, but not necessarily... You're talking about the big picture. Big
national
picture.
Champion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gonzaga.
So there
Baylor
you go.
Tonight.
That's
so the ACC on the couch watching this tonight. Hey, you can't win it every single year. You just can't. Nobody does. We've expected it because we've gotten
right.
so freaking spoiled rotten in this league because we've been so good at it for decade upon decade upon decade upon decade. The numbers don't lie. So you know, like I said the other day, Wes, we got to roll up our sleeves and get to work. It's the only way you get back. Hard work.
Yeah. Final one here, and this is a tough one because I think we had some high hopes here.
We did.
No ACC wrestler qualified for the Olympic team, Pac.
That's a bummer. Got to tell you. That's a bummer.
Yeah,
I was hoping that we might be able to squeeze one or two into the mix, but did not happen. And we keep bragging about this conference. Again, five in the top 25 on a consistent basis. Wrestling is on the absolute up and come in this big picture. And, again, only going to get better. But I was kind of hoping we'd get one on the Olympic team this go-around, but it didn't happen. Ofer.
Right.
Bummer.
So that's the worst of the weekend. I don't like that list. Every week
yeah,
struggle
gotta
with
do
that
it.
One. All
you
right.
You got to do it. You got to do it.
I know. All right. All right. Don't forget ACC baseball tomorrow night. Rivalry game on a Tuesday night. Jim Patterson Stadium in Louisville. Number 7 Cards welcome Kentucky over from Lexington. Coverage starts at 6 Eastern. ACC baseball all season long right here on ACC Network. Streaming live on the ESPN app. When we come back, career win 310 in his pocket. We go to South Bend, Indiana. Visit with the head coach of the Irish, Kevin Corrigan, next on Packer and Durham.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Monday. 844-SAY-ACCN. We'll get to your phone calls here momentarily. Hang tight. But there was a record setter over the weekend. We just talked about it on the best of the weekend. And now we go to South Bend, Indiana, the first family of the ACC, well-represented again. Another Corrigan. I'm telling you, they're everywhere. All they do is show up and win. Kevin Corrigan joins us running the show for men's lacrosse out there at Notre Dame. Coach, good morning and congratulations.
Good morning, guys. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Always a pleasure having you on. So does 310 feel any different than number 1 or number 100 or number 200? I mean, what does that one feel like? What's that like?
Just means I'm old. It means I'm old. It means I've had a chance to coach an awful lot of great kids here over the last 30-something years. So, yeah, but, you know, you definitely appreciate every one of them. They don't come easy.
Kevin, you've been doing this a long time. Mark and I have talked about it the last couple of weeks on the show. Men's or women's, take your pick. The lacrosse in this league is through the roof. Does this year feel any different because of the strength in numbers that the ACC has, especially on the men's side?
Yeah, there's no question. The league's as strong as it's ever been. I mean, it's amazing how many great players there are in our league right now. There's never been any lack of competitiveness, though. You know, at any point, you knew when you strap it up in this league, you better come to play because everybody in this league is built to win.
You know, when you take it on the road, much less the dome, and you're going to take on Syracuse, where, you know what, lacrosse matters. They talk it 24/7. 365. To get a win is one thing, but to win by 7 goals, Coach, I mean, that doesn't happen very often. I know when you got on the bus and got home, you're like, boys, well, that was a big time W. That's an accomplishment when you beat that team in their house as convincingly as you did.
Well, thank you. And the thing is, you know, they always come back, and so you even, you know, right up until the last minute of the game, you didn't feel very comfortable because you play them over the years. You know they've always got another run in them, and so I'm glad the clock ran out before we got to that last run.
Well, and you've got great balance on offense, and you did on Saturday. How valuable is that right now, given the scoring that we're seeing? I mean, Caroline Duke played the other night. We expected high scoring. It got a little bogged down defensively with great goalie play. But, I mean, to be balanced in scoring right now seems to be quite an advantage.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. You know, we didn't come into the year, unlike most of our conference opponents, we didn't come into the year with kind of a known or a couple knowns of guys who were going to be, you know, first-team All-Americans. And we talked about that all along. We said, hey, we have plenty of talent. We have more than enough to get the job done. But we don't have that one guy that we're going to lean on. We're going to have to do it collectively. And our guys have totally bought into that. We're playing very unselfishly, really good, smart lacrosse. The ball's not sticking anywhere, which makes everybody a threat. And, you know, it's the way our guys understand we need to play, and they've been great at it.
Kevin, what's going on with lacrosse? And again, you could discuss this men's side, women's side, whatever. Why is the ACC in a position where it's really just totally dominant? I've kidded around almost with every coach and player that we've had on. It may be harder to win the ACC championship than the NCAA championship, as deep as the conference is.
Yeah, I mean, you know, all the schools are kind of at this point, you know, schools that are deeply committed to the sport and have a, you know, a history of their own. You know, every program is attractive for all its own reasons. Every school is attractive for all their own reasons. It just makes it a great place to go to be a college athlete and to be particularly a college lacrosse player.
Yeah, the interesting part about this, too, is at least in terms of the scheduling now, and we got this from Joe Bresci last week, this rotation is a little scary, though, right? Because now you're kind of rotating around back to teams this season because of the way the schedule lines up, and everybody you play has got a little thump to them. I mean, it's almost like you're in the NCAA tournament right now.
Yeah. You know, I like this. The last few years, we've played 6 conference games almost every year anyway, but that required you to get to the conference championship game. And so if you did that, then those 2 teams played 6 games. The 2 teams that lost in the semifinals played 5 games, and the team that didn't make the tournament that year played 4 games. So I like this better. We're all assured that we're going to play 6 games. We get 3 of those games on our campuses for our students to see, which I think is fantastic. And so I really like this setup. And, you know, I wish we had 8 teams in the conference playing and we could, you know, play a 7-game schedule and then play a tournament. But that's not how we're built. We have 5 and it's an odd number. So the tournament thing hasn't worked as well for us as it might for a lot of other sports. And so I really like this scheduling arrangement that we're doing this year, and I'm be interested to see whether it's something we hold on to as we go forward when things get back to normal a little bit.
Kevin, when you go on the recruiting...
See, Pac, we got a Cargan making conference kind of suggestions again. Here we go. Here's a stunner. We got a Cargan talking about the way the conference runs.
Yeah, but you know what? Let me tell you though. You know, that first family of the ACC, you know, when a Cargan speaks, we should all shut up and listen because they're normally pretty smart and have a pretty good handle on it.
Hold on a second. Now, I've heard you guys a little bit, too. So, you know, let's not throw any stones from that glass house y'all are living in over there.
Let me tell you something, Coach. We know nothing over here in our respective basements and dogs and cats. I was going to take you back on the recruiting trail. We talked about how this sport's taken off nationally. When you go now and recruit, tell us the difference between what you see in high school lacrosse versus 5 or 10 years ago. What's the difference? What's it look like?
Yeah, well, first of all, the sport's everywhere now. You know, when I first got out to Notre Dame, we were kind of the edge of the universe in lacrosse. And and now the sport is all over the country. And the kids are growing up, it's not just the fact that they're playing, it's the level of play and it's the level of coaching that they're getting and all of that, so that they're ready to step in and play against, our level of competition, you know, right from the beginning. I mean, gosh, we've got a freshman from Florida who's doing a tremendous job for us, and that can't be any more of a surprise than a kid from Long Island these days, you know? So I think that's the biggest change in the landscape there. And the fact that these kids now, that when they are playing in all these areas, they play all over the country. So they step in, you know, they're game ready.
Is there anything different though? Kevin, let me just follow up with that. Is there anything different though, physically, with what a lacrosse player looks like in high school now versus 5 or 10 years ago? Are they bigger physical? I mean, is the nutrition, is all that now coming into play in lacrosse where all of a sudden, hey, the game's much more fast and physical than it was maybe just as a couple of years ago?
Yeah, you know, Mark, I think the bigger thing is probably just that we're attracting better athletes now to our sport. You know, I mean, some of the kids that aren't playing football and basketball or baseball are playing lacrosse, and they're just some better athletes. You know, I mean, look, you know, Rick Meyer's son Mo is a midfielder for us, and he's athletic enough to be playing just about any sport he decided to play. And so you have kids like that, and it kind of ups the ante for everybody.
I tell you, the other thing too, Kevin, is you're right about maybe when you first got the Notre Dame job, you were out on the edge of the universe. Now we're talking about kids all across this country. We had a young lady from Syracuse who's from McKinney, Texas on the show the other day. I mean, I can't imagine we're not going to go from one side of the country to the other before very too long here.
No question about it. And I hope our game just continues to grow and diversify and becomes available to, you know, to kids everywhere, because it's, you know, the one thing I've always said about lacrosse, nobody ever played it and said, that game stinks. I don't enjoy that at all. It's just a fun sport to play. We just got to get kids in the game.
You know, you might want to use that as a hashtag in recruiting, Coach. Nobody's ever played this game and thought it stunk. So come join us here at Notre Dame. By the way, I'm going to put you on the spot. Given how athletic the game has become, who have you seen on campus that plays another sport that you said, you know what, if he'd come out and play lacrosse, I think he'd really like it. Now, I don't know if Coach X would like it. But I mean, is there somebody on Brian Kelly's roster that you said, let me tell you now, we got a tight end over here that would look really good with a lacrosse stick in his hands in the spring.
I'll take every cornerback and safety they have. I'll take every single one of them and give them a stick, and we'll defend anybody with those guys.
Let me tell you now, Coach had some dudes. Wait a minute, Coach had some dudes on this last team, a bunch of 5-year seniors. Now I guarantee you give them a stick and a good attitude. And about 5 minutes of coaching, you'd have had some problems. He had some dudes now.
No doubt.
All right, so here's the pressing question. I know you said, you know, you're looking for the even number of teams. Have you talked to the athletics director at NC State about lacrosse and what the story is there?
Guy won't return my calls about that subject. I don't know what
That's
it is.
That's unbelievable.
He's too smart.
Maybe you'll see him at
He's
Christmas.
Too smart.
Maybe at the Christmas dinner, that might be time to say, hey, Boo, I'm just telling you, I don't know what's the budget's looking like for 22-23, but I know Title IX's got to come into play here, but you might be able to look into lacrosse. I think those folks in Raleigh might go for it.
Anyway, I think he knows that, but I think he's got a few things on his plate at the moment. Yeah, we'll let him be.
Yeah, I think you're right about that.
I'll tell you what, Kevin, Boo and I have had enough conversation in the last 6 months to know, just don't Don't get your mom involved. You're going to be just fine. That'll be the way it works, right?
You know, it's so funny, man. We all grew up together, right, in this conference. You know, the three of us all kind of grew up with this whole thing. And it's amazing, you know, to think that we're all getting the lucky opportunity now to be part of it in some way, isn't it?
And by the way, how about the impact of the network on lacrosse? Have you sensed that at all yet? I'm just curious.
Yeah, and I think it's only going to grow as you know, access becomes, you know, more available. I you know, it's tremendous. It really is. It's so great for our sport and for the kids to have the opportunity to play that way. Their families and friends can see them back home. It's really great.
Well, good luck the rest of the way. Congratulations on the win Saturday at Syracuse. I know you got a big one with Danowski's group coming this weekend with Duke. But thanks for the time. Always great to see you, my man.
Thank you, guys. Really appreciate it.
All right. You bet. Kevin Cargan is the coach of Notre Dame's men's lacrosse team. Career win 3-10, most in Division I at a single school on Saturday with the victory against Syracuse.
And I got to be completely honest with you. It's 8:40 a.m. I am very surprised we've not received a text or an email from Boo Corrigan already after that comment 2 minutes ago.
Yeah.
I'm very surprised.
Yeah. I am too. Before we get to break, Debbie in North Carolina has been holding during our Kevin Cargan interview. Debbie, good morning. Welcome to Packer and Durham.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you, Mr. Packer. Thank you, Mr. Durham. Good to see you both. Glad to know there is some consistency in the fact that we can see you, both of your smiling faces, and we're going to have it for at least another year. Thank
God willing,
you, Jesus.
That's right. Yeah.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen to that. Can assure you.
I thank you, Mr. Packer, for asking the question. How do we as fans feel about this transfer portal? I can only speak for myself, so this is all in my humble opinion. I've had 55 going on 56 years of what I call emotional investment into the University of North Carolina. What this transfer portal has done to me, it's like you follow these players, you follow their careers. Every time one of them leaves, you know, you still keep up with them and how they're doing. I am so concerned about what this is doing potentially to our college student athletes. There's an old song that goes, "I'm always chasing rainbows." Well, I'm afraid that people are going to find out that the grass is not always greener on the other side, and there is no pot of gold. Me, I have invested emotionally and financially. I mean, both of my children, I put them in Carolina onesies coming home from the nursery. Already grooming them to be diehard Carolina fans, which they are. Thank you. I did my job. But every time we lose someone like this, it's like going through a divorce, you know, because, like I said, there is an emotional investment in the university and in the players. So I thank you for asking what it feels like as a fan. And that's right. What I have to say.
Debbie, thank you
so much.
Thank you, Debbie.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much for watching. Pack, I think it's hard on fans. I think the NBA thing, the one and done, is one deal. But this transfer portal thing is
worse.
I don't think fans really understood it until we've gotten into it.
It's worse for the fan. Why? Because there's not that many teams affected by the one and done. It really isn't. There's very few schools in America from a basketball perspective that recruit a one-and-done player, where you basically get to see them for 6 months and they're off to the NBA or wherever they go next. The transfer portal is different, and really nobody's immune to it that, hey, you may have one, two, three, five, you're half the team gone overnight, and it's got nothing to do with one-and-done. Has everything to do with, well, you know, I think the grass is greener somewhere else. I am going to go out there and because it's my right to go see what else is out there. I just hope there's a landing spot. You know, there's not necessarily 1,200 landing spots for everybody. And, You know, the object of the game is to get a quality education, whether you play in the NBA or not. Most will not play in the NBA, but you better get that free education while you can. Big picture.
Yep. Agree with you on that. Stay tuned when we come back. More with coaches, including a championship coach. Danny Busboom Kelly and Louisville, winners of ACC volleyball over the weekend. Headed to the NCAA tournament. We'll talk to her about the Ville, and is this going to be a different deal with the spring championship? Back after this on Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham. We're going to bring on Danny Busboom Kelly here in a second. Talk about Louisville winning an ACC championship. But Wes, before we do that, not only do the Cards, they're locked and loaded as the 11th overall seed, but three other ACC teams made the NCAA tournament field of 64. AL means at large. So congratulations to Notre Dame, Georgia Tech, Pittsburgh, and of course the Cards. They're locked and loaded. You see their opponents coming up in round one and two of the NCAA tournament, getting cranked up next week.
Georgia Tech, I believe, first appearance since 2010.
Pretty good.
For the Jackets. So there you go. But Louisville is the champion.
Got the belt.
They beat North Carolina over the weekend. And Danny Busboom Kelly joins us this morning from Derby City. Coach, congratulations. That's quite a weekend.
Thank you. It was a great weekend, that's for sure.
Can't beat that. Somewhere Katie George is smiling. Somewhere the pom-poms are out like, yes, yes, we got the championship back in Louisville. It's got to feel good, though, right? I mean, as crazy and as upside down as 20-21 has been, whether it be volleyball or fill in the blank with your favorite sport, what the ladies have been through, you, the staff, I mean, that had to really, really feel good and well-earned.
Absolutely. And when you think about just – you know, we were in season for 9 months starting back in August, and we had games getting canceled and things getting changed and not even knowing if there's going to be an NCAA tournament, and just, you know, having to stay resilient and continuing to stay motivated to be great every day was a lot tougher than it sounds. So super proud of our team and the way they handled this season. And I feel like we're still playing our best volleyball, which is what you want, even though it's April instead of December.
Danny, that's kind of where I was going to go with this, is that you mentioned the 9 months. I mean, let's be honest here. You kind of left the fall with still a degree of uncertainty, right? You had no guarantees that you were going to be back on this platform. So to kind of be, you know, ride the emotional roller coaster, if you will, of what volleyball might be, how hard's that been?
Oh, it's been really tough. And one of the toughest things that, again, you don't think about maybe until you really reflect on the years, going home for almost 2 months over Christmas break. And so our players had to be at home. You know, they couldn't lift with our strength coaches. They didn't have our nutritionists, and they had to really have a lot of self-motivation and a lot of discipline for 2 months to come back in January, February, ready to train and get ready to play matches really quickly. So again, same with 9 month season, way tougher than it sounds. A lot of distractions when you go home for a couple months.
Was it harder for the players or the coaching staff?
I'd probably say the players.
Well, all right.
I don't like my job performance doesn't go down too much if I have a couple donuts in the morning or some chips and queso at night.
You know, I got to be honest with you, Coach. Now that I think about it, same here. You're right. It was a lot harder on the players because those donuts sure do taste good in the morning. I will tell you that. By the way, from a mental standpoint, though, was that probably more taxing than the physical part for your players?
I definitely think so. And part of the sacrifices they're making and being asked to, you know, stay healthy and really little to no social life, still go to class and their classes are online. So they feel like they have a little bit more homework than normal. So definitely mentally tougher than physically.
All right, Danny, I want to get into something here that we've talked about with a variety of coaches. And that is, what have we learned going through this process that you think's been beneficial that you'd like to see kind of go going forward? And in particular with volleyball, I know it's a lot better from a structure standpoint when it's all done in the fall semester, right? I understand that. I'm not saying you want a two-semester sport anymore. But is there a silver lining to this for volleyball moving forward in your mind somewhere?
I haven't thought about that from just the sport in general. But, you know, I think it did really maybe separate some programs just with resources and how important it is to, you know, have great strength coaches, nutritionists, and to sports psychologists, and just how important those things are for every sport to be successful, especially in this long season. And if you can continue to build on those, you know, those resources, you know, the sky's the limit. And that's the biggest thing I noticed is some of the Power Five schools just started sticking out more and more as we turned the corner into the spring season.
I know it's a team game. It's really kind of the ultimate team game. Everybody's got to step up and get the job done. But to see somebody like Anna DeBeer step up, that had to feel good from a coaching perspective going, guess what? Freshmen can play.
Yeah. I mean, it's a pretty big advantage for freshmen to have two seasons because, you know, they got to get some playing time under their belt. And then it's almost like their sophomore year going into the spring. And that's been a cool thing about our team is our lineup was different in the fall than the spring. And because different players emerged and roles changed, and you really saw Anna DeBeer took on a major role playing six rotations. She only played three in the fall season, and then our DS, Aiden Bartlett, who's a freshman, is playing awesome right now. So you really saw those two improve a ton. Another exciting thing, you know, Nena Mbanu, who didn't play at all in the fall, is now a starter. And so it really gave some players some opportunities to develop and take their time and emerge.
I want to go back to kind of how that works because – now, correct me if I'm wrong here. Everybody's still on the waiver year, right? I mean, this is a repeat. Yeah. No matter if it's spring and fall, I mean, you're kind of living in a math problem. I know from a bigger picture, but right now it's an all good problem, right?
Absolutely, because everybody can get an extra year if they want it. So, you know, we feel like we have a great team. So I'll take them all for an extra year.
All right, NCAA tournament. San Diego or Texas A&M Corpus Christi? What do you know about either one of them?
Well, I know Texas A&M Corpus Christi is, you know, really strong team. They made a great run in their conference tournament, but I don't know a ton about them from personnel. Now, San Diego, on the other hand, is very, you know, storied volleyball program. So they've made, I think they have tied for the longest streak of NCAA tournament appearances, and they've been in multiple Sweet 16s. You know, they always are really, really tough in the tournament. And I also know they start out pretty slow this spring. They did not play in the fall, and they had some COVID and some injuries early on this spring, and they're really starting to hit their stride. So, you know, I thought it was a really tough draw for us, but it'll be a great challenge. And, you know, again, a lot of respect for that San Diego program.
All right, Danny, couple things here. We showed the ACC entries into the NCAA tournament. You guys have just two losses, and you're an 11 seed. Does this league get its due in this deal, or should we have more teams? I mean, kind of how does this fit, and does the fall confuse things a little?
Yeah, I do think the fall confused things because you saw, you know, some teams that lost in the spring. So I really thought Florida State had a great chance to also make the field, and they, you know, had their losses, their quote-unquote worst losses in the spring when their best player was out. And they've been really, really strong this fall, or they had their losses in the fall. They've been really strong this spring, so I was hoping they'd get in. But I thought four teams for the ACC in a field of 48 was pretty fair. And, you know, I do think this league gets some of the credit it deserves, but I also think it's a little underrated, unfortunately. And so I just hope these teams go into the tournament and prove themselves. And, you know, Pitt's a scary team, and they're playing so good right now. So I'm calling it right now. They're going to upset somebody.
Coach, as soon as I saw that you'd won the championship, the first thing that popped in my head was the coveted invite, Katie George, with her Louisville loving volleyball self. I'm sure you got a text from Katie because that had, like I said, had to feel good for everybody's got any association with Louisville volleyball.
Yeah, not a text, but a tweet. So but Katie and I are, you know, pretty good friends, and we stay in contact now and again. So I definitely know she's proud, and wow, what a great ambassador for our program.
No doubt.
Well, I just want to say It's a lot better having you on the show winning the ACC championship than Katie on the show telling us about you winning the ACC championship.
Right, I love it.
No, wait, no. That'll get back to Katie. She'll want a piece of you, Durham, for saying that.
I know.
It's all well, good in Louisville. And, hey, wait, listen. I'm not knocking
It's a losing fight.
No, I'm not.
It's a losing fight with me and Katie, Danny. I'm just going to tell you, it's a losing fight. I got no shot.
I'm not knocking.
I wouldn't want to go up against Katie in any like mental competition. Athletically, though, I'll race her. That's for sure.
Listen, I'm not knocking anything in Louisville because anybody that embraces the brown water, I'm all for them. I'm rooting for them.
Yeah,
so that's the way I look at it. The ultimate celebration: one ice cube and some brown water there in the Commonwealth. It's all good on those championships.
Yes.
I love it.
That's right.
Danny, thanks so much. Congratulations. Look forward to following you in the NCAA tournament.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. Danny Busboom Kelly is the coach of Louisville's volleyball team. They are the ACC champions and headed to the NCAA to see either San Diego, that'd be the Toreros pack, or Texas A&M Corpus Christi, the Islanders.
Speaking of
islands, NCAA tournament.
I'm all for islands these days. All for those islands.
No.
Talk about that later on.
We're going to break. Yeah, we're going to break. When we come back, kind of a reset of some of our top stories today and a couple of our top plays of the weekend as well. Oh, no. That looked gone. Oh, a little one-handed action in Atlanta with the Jackets and Cavaliers. Oh, and Andrew Booth, did I tell you? It's over for wide receiver U in the spring. Power Hour next.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.